Good evening. So now we're in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Bible reads, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor what they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith, and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning the faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Let's pray just to the Lord God. Just thank you for every soul here at this church right now, Lord. Just pray that you bless this service, Lord. Please fill Pastor Mejia with your Holy Spirit, Lord, as he preaches unto us, Lord, and that we in the congregation are attentive to the preaching, Lord, and we take these truths from your word and apply to our lives tonight, Lord. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 1 this evening, and the title of my sermon tonight is How to Benefit from the Preaching. How to benefit from the preaching. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible says here, This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them referring to the prophecies, mightest war a good warfare. What is the Apostle Paul saying here? He's telling Timothy, his son in the faith, that in order for him to war a good warfare, in other words, fight the good fight of faith, be able to be successful in the Christian life, do that which is pleasing in the eyes of the Lord, actually serve God and be successful at it, you know, he's going to have to remember the prophecies that went before on him. In other words, he's going to have to remember some of the preaching that he's heard in times past, showing us that the preaching of God's word is one of the most influential things in a Christian's life, right? I mean, I think about myself over the last 17 years. I'm essentially the accumulation of the last 17 years of not just walking with God, but just hearing preaching, right? When I first got saved, listening to Fundamental Baptist preaching all through the years, I could honestly say that I've learned a lot from the preaching of God's word. I am today, I would consider myself to be not necessarily the best Christian, but I'm a consistent Christian. I'm a faithful Christian. I've been given the privilege to be fruitful in the Christian life. And I accredit that to the preaching of God's word, the preaching that has changed my life over the years and has helped me tremendously. And I think sometimes people could get this attitude about preaching, and this will be one of my points later on, where preaching is just something you go and listen to be entertained by. But really, people seem to forget that preaching is actually divine, okay? It is essentially God's word being spoken through God's man for your particular situation to teach you something specific. And often, in my experience, it can be an answer to your prayers. You know, sometimes people are going through a difficult time or they are faced with a decision they have to make in life and they don't really know what to do. And they're like, God, you know, give me wisdom. How can I deal with the situation? What should I do? And often the answer comes through preaching. But here's the thing. If you're not going to church, if you're not listening to preaching, if you're not saturating your mind with God's word and God's direction through the preaching of God's word, you're not going to get the answer, or you're going to miss out on the answer. And so it's important for us to esteem the preaching of God's word. The Bible says, despise not prophesying. Prophesying referring to preaching. It's an important thing in our Christian life. It's an important discipline for us to actually listen to the preaching of God's word. Now go to the book of Jude, if you would. The book of Jude. I believe that preaching can change lives. I can attest to the fact that it's changed my life over the years. I can think back to specific sermons that I've heard from a variety of preachers where one specific sermon literally changed my life. It helped me to change my direction as a Christian. I can quote titles and points of sermons and scriptures where I feel like the Lord was speaking to my heart. I feel like the Holy Spirit was leading me. And I can look back over the years and say, man, that preaching changed my life. It helped me to get right with God. It helped me to make the right decision. It helped me to get back on track in my heart when I was off track. It was supernatural. It was divine. Now, tonight I'm going to give you seven ways for you to benefit from the preaching of God's word. And all of these are things that I've done in times past as a Christian. And so I want to encourage you today to implement these things in order for you to benefit, not just from my preaching, but just any preaching that you listen to from any pastor, obviously, that's saved, that's preaching the right doctrine, using the right Bible, having the right salvation, etc. Now, number one, let's go through this, the seven ways that you can benefit from the preaching. Number one, come to church expecting, listen to this, to learn, relearn, and reinforce. Let me say that again. You should come to church expecting to learn, relearn, and reinforce specific doctrines and truths in your life. You will benefit from the preaching of God's word once you have the expectation that when you come to church, you're going to learn something new. Amen? You're also going to relearn something that you forgot. And you're going to reinforce something that you've always known and remembered, but you need to be strengthened your conviction on. So we come to church having this expectation, I'm going to learn something new. I know the Holy Spirit is going to teach me something new through the preaching of God's word. I'm going to hear something that maybe I've never heard before. But also, I'm going to come to relearn something that maybe I forgot. And how many of you can say, you know, there's something that I've heard in the preaching over the last year that when I heard it again, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. I know me in my personal life, there's times when maybe some of my pastor friends preach something or I hear a sermon and I'm like, man, I forgot about that specific truth, because the Bible's filled with so much truth and we have so much truth coming in. Sometimes things are just, they fall through the cracks. We forget about them. And so we need to be reminded of those things. But also we should come to church expecting to reinforce truths and doctrines and principles that we already know, but we are strengthening them in our personal lives. Listen to this. Never come to church as a know-it-all and believing you've already got it all together. Like, well, you know, what else am I going to learn? I've already heard hundreds of sermons. I've listened to all types of pastors. I know all doctrines, all manner of behavior. I kind of already know everything. Well, folks, if you're that person, you don't know anything at all. Because the Bible's constantly telling us to grow in grace. Well, in order for you to grow, that means you have to learn something that you don't currently know. And we have to relearn things because we often forget. And of course, the Bible commands us to strengthen, meaning reinforce things that we already have learned in times past. Let me say this. You know, first and foremost, regarding learning something new, you know, you should put away preconceived ideas. If you're newer in our church, and this is the first Fundamental Baptist church you visited, or it's just the first time you've been in this type of a church, you know, you need to put away your preconceived ideas. What do I mean by that? You know, there's some things that you might have learned in times past. Just mark it down. It's probably, sometimes they're in error. Sometimes it's false doctrine. Sometimes it's things that you've learned in times past that you thought was true, that it's not actually true. It's not actually biblical. And you should never come to church thinking, well, you know, that contradicts what I believe, therefore, I'm going to reject it. That contradicts what I've always heard, therefore, I'm going to reject it. Whereas the attitude should be, that contradicts the Bible, therefore, I'm not going to believe it, right? The attitude should always be, well, what does the Bible say? So if it's in conjunction with the Bible, regardless if it's different from what you previously believed, you should change what you believe and line up your beliefs with the Word of God. Okay? Put away preconceived ideas. Allow the Bible to be your guide. And allow your ideas to be challenged. If you have specific beliefs, ideas, and look, I'm not just talking about doctrine, because doctrine is a major part of it, but how about just conduct, right? Your behavior. Or sometimes it is about doctrine, but it has to do with, for example, you know, dress standards. What the Bible says about pants on women. What the Bible says about, you know, tattoos. What the Bible says about alcohol. What the Bible says about abortion. What the Bible says about a woman working outside, you know, the out of the home. What does the Bible say about these things? You might have a preconceived idea about that. But if you believe it's true, then you should allow it to be challenged. Okay? And be willing to say, well, if there is some truth to this, then I'm going to learn something new. And I'm not going to reject it just because it's new to me. Okay? And so come to church to learn something new. You don't have to turn there, but Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 5 says, a wise man will hear, and I want you to notice this, and will increase in learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Proverbs 9, verse 9 says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. What is this? This is a person who's ready to learn something new. They come to church to hear the preaching of God's word with a humble heart, willing to learn something new that they've never heard before. And if it comes from the word of God, they're willing to believe it. Learning something new doesn't always mean a new doctrine that you've never heard. It could also be referring to your conduct, your behavior, things of that nature. So we come to church to learn something new, but we also come to church to relearn something you may have already forgotten. Because here's the thing, folks. We never want to have this Athenian approach to preaching. What do I mean by that? Well, in Acts 17, verse 21, it says, for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. You're going to learn new things when you come to church, but you shouldn't come to church thinking, I only want to hear new things. Right? It's just like, well, tell me something new about end times Bible prophecy. Tell me something new about the book of Revelation. Tell me something new about the book of Daniel. I want to learn something that I've never heard before, and that's the only thing I want to hear. Well, here's the thing. You are going to learn something new, but you also have to relearn things that you may have forgotten. Okay? Relearn things that you have forgotten. Look at Jude, if you would. Chapter 1. I'm just kidding. There's only one chapter. We were talking about that earlier. Look at verse 5. He says here, I will therefore put you in remembrance. And I want you to notice this, though ye once knew this. He's like, I'm going to remind you of something, even though you already know it. Right? Though ye once knew this. And what is he talking about? How that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. So he's kind of talking about the history of Egypt, Israel in Egypt, and how God destroyed those of Egypt, going through the Exodus account there. And this is something that people obviously know. Christians know about this. The Israelites already know about this. Believers know about this. But he's saying, I'm going to bring it into your remembrance. And why is that? Because of the fact that it's easy for us to just forget stories, principles of the Bible, names of the Bible, and simply principles that we can learn from people's lives in the Word of God. Okay? And so we never want to just come to church and say, well, I've already heard this, therefore it doesn't really apply. No, it does apply to you because you need to remember it. And we need to remind you once again that idolatry is sinful, that idolatry according to the Bible is spiritual whoredom, even though you've heard it before. You need to be reminded of it once again. So the way you can benefit from the preaching of God's word is come to church expecting to learn something new, to relearn something that you may have forgotten. Go to 2 Peter, if you would, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read to you from Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 1. It says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. What is he saying? To repeat the same exact thing that I've said before doesn't bother me at all. Because of the fact that for you it's a safe thing. Okay. Now, I have to remind myself of this constantly as a pastor, because I know that as a young church, sometimes Christians just want to hear a new thing. They want me to get down deep into the book of Revelation, deep into Daniel, deep into the toes of the beast, deep into, you know, the numbers, and to get into all that stuff. And that's great and all, but sometimes I just need to keep repeating things that you've heard before, and it's not grievous unto me, it's safe for you, okay? And here's the thing, you know, why should we be reminded of truths and doctrines, you know, commandments of conduct, things of that nature? Well, one, you just need to be reminded of it because the Bible says you should be reminded of it. But two, because you're not doing it, right? So, you know, sometimes you hear me preach about the same thing over and over again. It's just like, why is he preaching? Well, it could be because some of you are not acting right. So I have to, like, preach the same sermon that I preached last year. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, it's for you, it is safe. I got to preach the same thing over and over again because it's good to just refresh ourselves on spiritual truth. But sometimes I just have to do it because some of you have blatantly forgotten. It's commonly reported. Okay? Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 12 here. It says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. So according to the Bible, if a pastor is not reminding his congregation regarding truths that they've already heard in the past, what does the Bible say? It says that he's negligent, meaning he is not teaching what he's supposed to be teaching. He's not reminding the flock of God. He has a responsibility to remind the flock of God of truths they've heard over the years if he doesn't want to be negligent. It says in verse 13, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am with you in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me, referring to his death, the fact that Peter's going to die. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able to, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. And what the Apostle Peter is saying here is like, I got to remind you about these things because I'm not always going to be here to remind you. And so hopefully, as I continue to remind you of these truths, when I'm gone, they're so ingrained in you that you carry them with you even after my decease, is what he's saying there. Sounds like remembering or relearning things that we've already learned in times past is important to God, okay? Look at chapter 3, if you would, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1. It says, this second epistle, beloved, I write now unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So why is he reminding them of this spiritual truth? Verse 2, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So he's saying here, one of the reasons I'm constantly reminding you of these truths is because I want you to be mindful of these things. I want you to be mindful of the words of the prophets. And you know what? We have to drill these things over and over again because throughout the week, I want you to be mindful of the truth that you learn, right? Because preaching is not just something you listen to and say, wow, that was a great sermon, and walk away. You got to take it with you, amen? And be mindful of those truths because it's going to come back in the future and you're going to need it. And in fact, you know, as I was driving over here, I was thinking about just some of the truths that I learned as a young Christian through my former pastor, who's my father-in-law. And I remember him preaching sermons and it just seemed redundant. You know, it was just like he kept repeating a lot of these things over the years. And I remember he would go to a particular passage and I'm like, I already know what he's going to say. I already know what he's going to preach on. I already know where he's going with this. And as a young Christian, it was just like, well, either way, though, I know I'm going to benefit from this somehow, even though I already know this. And even though it's not necessarily applicable to me right now, eventually one day maybe it will be. But let me tell you right now, as a pastor, those sermons, I'm constantly thinking back like, oh, okay, now I know why he said that in the past. Now I know why he would give that warning all the time in the past. Now it's applicable to me. So here I am 13 years later, remembering sermons that my pastor would constantly remind me about that at that time I thought, this is irrelevant to me. But you know what? Later on down the road, I realized how important those truths were, and I'm glad I took it serious when I heard it 14 years back. Okay? Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, if you would. Psalm 119. Let me read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 4. And verse number 4, it says, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer." And this is what the Apostle Paul tells Timothy. He says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and a good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained." So what is the Apostle Paul telling Timothy? You know, you got to remind Timothy to remind those he's preaching to that they can eat anything. Okay, that every creature of God is good. You can have bacon and pork and shrimp and catfish and all these foods that Jews typically would say are unclean. You got to remind them that they can eat these things as long as it's sanctified by the word of God in prayer. And why? Because of the fact that if these truths are not being reminded and stirred up in their pure minds, then somewhere along down the road, they can get Judaized by some false prophets into thinking that eating shrimp is sinful or something like that, okay? So it's important to be reminded, to have our minds stirred up. So come to church with the expectation to learn something new, to relearn something you already know but may have forgotten, and lastly, to reinforce something that you've known and remembered, but it needs strengthening. Let me read to you from Acts chapter 14, verse 21. It says, "When they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." When you hear preaching of things that you already know about, you can remember, you can quote verses about, allow that to just drive in the stakes deeper into your convictions, because that's what it's doing. It's reinforcing those truths in your spiritual life. Colossians chapter 2, you don't have to turn there. Verse 6 says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, and abounding therein with thanksgiving." Now, before I move on to the next point, let me just say one more thing about this particular point, about learning, relearning, and reinforcing. Don't take this lightly, because in my experience, I've learned that there's a lot of people that just know the Bible. They just know the Bible. But because, you know, conduct and behavior is not reinforced, discipline is not reinforced, sometimes a lot of them, they just don't make it in the Christian life. They fall by the wayside. They get out of church. They get involved in sin. They do things that are just not pleasing to the Lord. And it's not because they don't know the Bible. It's because they didn't reinforce behavior, Christian behavior in their lives. They didn't take the preaching serious when I talked about sin. They didn't take the preaching serious when I talked about the conduct and the behavior and how what God expects of you in your conversation. They thought it was just all head knowledge. But then when the time came, when Satan tempted them, tried them, they fell by the wayside because it wasn't something they reinforced in their lives. You see, church attendance to me is reinforced. I'm established when it comes to that. It's like, you know, obviously I'm the pastor, so I have no choice. But, you know, even prior to that, it's just there's no question if we're going to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek service. Why? Because that's a conviction that we just reinforce in our lives that does not move. You know, I don't go a day without reading my Bible, believe it or not. You know why? It's because of the fact that I've already reinforced that discipline in my life over and over again. And I heard preaching over and over and over about reading the Bible, memorizing the Bible, walking with God. It was just constantly drilled to the point it's just part of my life. You know, you get up in the morning, you get ready, you read the Bible, and you pray. And I do that every single day because of the fact the preaching of God's word reinforced that truth in my life. Okay? Church attendance, Bible reading, prayer, soul winning. These are things that need to be reinforced to the point where it becomes a part of your life. And that happens through the preaching of God's word. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about how to benefit from preaching. Number one, we said come to church expecting to learn, relearn, and reinforce. Number two, here's another way you can benefit from the preaching of God's word. Internalize the truth that you're listening to, okay? What do I mean by internalizing the truth? Make it a part of yourself. And I had a conversation with someone this week, and I remember thinking to myself, like, that's like a key to really internalize the truth is by teaching someone else what you've just learned, okay? And that's probably been one of the most effective ways for me to really dig in and learn something is that I have to take that truth and teach it to someone else, okay? What do I have you turn? Psalm 119, let me read to you from Proverbs 16 and verse 23. Listen to this. It says, "The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips," meaning he's able to teach that which he knows. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 9, look at verse number 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Skip down to verse 13 if you would. It says, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches." Now I like what he says there in verse 13 where he says, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." What does that mean? It means he's teaching someone else the judgments of the Lord. Okay. And I really like it when after the service or something, after some sermon I preach, some of the guys are just repeating some of the phrases from the sermon. And they sometimes they do it jokingly, not like in a disrespectful way, but like, you know, they talk about it. And you know what they're doing? They're reinforcing that truth. You know, they talk about the local New Testament church, right? And they always talk about the local, but that's a phrase that I constantly use in sermons when I'm talking about church. I'm like, the local New Testament. But you know what? The guy just constantly says it now. And he just thinks, the local New Testament church. And here's the thing is that's a great way to remember truths. Use it in daily conversation. Take a truth from the sermon and use it. You know, use it in your daily conversation. Talk about it. Internalize the truth. You're like, well, I already know that truth. Then reinforce it. Internalize it. The Bible says in verse 15, "I will meditate in thy precepts. I have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes." I want you to notice this. "I will not forget thy word." Well, how does he not forget the word? Because he internalizes it. He puts it in his heart. He hides the truth in his heart. That's what he does. The Bible tells us that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. In order for us to experience true success in the Christian life, the truths of God's word, whether through your Bible reading, through the preaching, has to be internalized. You really want to benefit from this sermon? Take something that I'm saying right now and internalize it. Carry it with you. Write it down on a piece of paper. Write it down in your Bible. Think upon it. Meditate upon it. Use it. Okay, go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter number 7. You see, in order to benefit from God's preaching, you have to come to church expecting to learn, relearn, and reinforce, but you also have to internalize the truth. One of the ways of internalizing the truth is you have to teach someone else. Declare the judgments with thy mouth. But here's an even better way to internalize the truth. Do it! Actually put into practice what you've learned. Look at Matthew 7 and verse 24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock," the Bible says. So the Bible's telling us here that in order for us, listen to this, to weather the storms of life, you have to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. Now, coming to church, you got that down packed already. You're here. You're hearing, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." But hold on a second, it doesn't stop there. Because in order for you to actually benefit from the truths being proclaimed, you actually have to obey what's being stated. You have to be a doer so that when the floods come, the rains descend, you're not going to be destroyed. You're not going to be carried about. You're going to weather the storm. And here's the thing, folks. You know, I'm all for biblical knowledge. You got to memorize information of the Bible, learn the Bible. But I hope I see you in 20 years, though. I hope I see you in 10 years. I hope I see you by the end of this year, which is only a couple weeks away. I hope I see you at the end of 2025. But let me just give you the harsh reality many will not be here at the end of 2025. Okay, hopefully not a whole lot, but I guarantee you there will be people who were here today on Sunday, whether Sunday morning, Sunday night, they will not be here at the end. Why? Because of the fact that they were not doers of the word. They didn't internalize the truth. The floods came and carried them about. Okay. You know, I want the rains to descend upon me. I want the floods to come. I want the winds to blow. I want it to beat upon that house, but I shall not be moved because I'm already rooted in the Christian life. I've internalized these truths, and I do my best to participate and act out and obey the commandments of the Lord. And look, you know, coming to church is a discipline. I'm talking about getting yourself here, but it requires a little more discipline to actually take the preaching of God's word serious and not just go through the motions of just sitting there looking at me, saying amen, nodding. Like there's some definite things happening here, supernatural things happening here where the Holy Spirit is talking to you. You need to write these things down. You need to say, you know what? That was for me. I need that. Lord, help me in this area. Internalize that truth in my life so I can be a better Christian. Go to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. We're going back and forth from the Old and New Testament. Proverbs chapter 7. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read to you from James chapter 1 and verse 21. We're talking about ways to that you can benefit from preaching. Internalize the truth that you're listening to. James 1:21 says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. What does this mean? What is he talking about when he's beholding his natural face in a glass? That's another way of saying a mirror. And what the Bible's saying here is that when you're reading the Bible or even when you're listening to preaching, it's almost as if the preaching is giving you a reflection of who you really are, right? Because when you hear preaching, you're like, oh, I've done that. You're basically seeing yourself in that reflection. But here's the thing. When you look at yourself in the reflection, you see the parts of yourself that's just well put together, but then you also see the booger in your nose. You know, you see that you got, you know, stuff in your teeth. You see how ugly you really are. You know, you really start to see everything for what it truly is, okay? And the Bible says that when you hear the word of God, it's like you going to that mirror because you're a recipient of that reflection from the preaching, right? But let's say you just go to that mirror, you see that booger in your nose, and you just, like, walk away from it. You forgot, dude, to take the booger out. You forgot to fix and remove the food from your teeth. You forgot that, you know, you can't change if you're ugly, but, you know, you forgot to fix what could be fixed. You understand what I'm saying? So hearing preaching, reading the Bible, is like looking into the perfect law of liberty as a mirror. And you know what God wants you to do when you look into that mirror? Fix yourself. Like, well, I'm already well put together. There's nothing to fix. Look for something to fix. You got a zit somewhere. There's some sort of imperfection somewhere in your life. There always is because we're not perfect. We're sinners. There's always things that we got to work on. So First Works Baptist Church is a massive mirror that you come to see your reflection of who you really are and what you currently look like in your spiritual condition at this moment. And when you hear that preaching, you can either do one of two things. You can walk out that door and say, I forgot what manner of man I was. I think I look good. Or you can say, man, I need to comb my hair. Or, man, I need to, you know, I need to shave. Or, man, I need to grow a beard. Or, man, I need to, you know, take the eye boogers out of my eye. I need to clean my teeth. I need to fix something in my life. That preaching reflected my weaknesses and my deficiencies in the Christian life. Internalize the truth by actually doing what the Bible says. So when he tells you to be a doer of the word, what is he saying? You know, when you actually look in the mirror and you go, you actually fix yourself, okay? When you look in the mirror, you're like, whoa, that's a lot of, you know, let me just remove that stuff from my eye. You know, you get the Q-tip, you know, and then you clean yourself. That's actually doing it. Look at Proverbs 7, verse 1, regarding doing the words keeping the words. It says, my son, verse number one, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. What is he saying? Internalize these truths. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Referring to focus on the Bible. Focus on the truth here. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Why is he being, you know, why is he exaggerating so much? You know, like, what do you mean, bind them on my fingers, write upon my heart, call wisdom my sister? Why is he saying? He's saying, get familiar with the truth. Internalize the truth in such a way that you are, you know, you're familiar with it. It's part of who you are. He says in verse 5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. So it's telling you to remember these things, not so you can be knowledgeable, not so you can be smart. It's saying so it can protect you in the long run from the strange woman. Go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Talk about benefits, ways you can benefit from the preaching. Number one, come to church expecting to learn, relearn, reinforce. Number two, internalize the truth, whether through teaching someone else or being a doer of the word. Number three, here's something really practical. Improve your biblical navigation skills. Let me say this. When we come to church, bring a physical Bible with you. I get it. We have Bible apps, and I use the Bible app, and, you know, no one's going to tell you different, and, you know, you're Gen Z, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, when you come to church, you should actually carry a physical Bible with you so that you're not biblically illiterate. You say, why? Because when you actually carry a Bible with you, you have to learn where the books of the Bible are. You need to learn how to navigate through the scriptures. And you know what? I encourage everyone in our church, anyone who listens to preaching, to interact with the preaching of God's word. And one of the best ways to interact is actually pay attention to what you're reading and go to the scriptures. You know, the Bible says to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. I know liberal churches have the verses for you on the screen, and you don't got to lift up a finger. You ain't got to do nothing. They'll just force feed you all the false doctrine or whatever. But, you know, at our church, we want you to actually be skilled at, you know, being able to open up the Bible and find Haggai, find Hosea, find Zephaniah, find First Chronicles. And not just flip through and be like, I'm just going to go through my Bible app because I just can click on it right there. Learn how to navigate through the scriptures. And let me also say this. Read the scriptures when we all read it. Don't just look at me. Like, well, I like the way you read it. Well, you know what? Look down at your Bibles and listen to me read it then. We should all be participating and getting involved with the preaching of God's word, navigate through the scriptures, learn how to use the word of God. And you understand how important that is when it comes to preaching the gospel, right? And this isn't even about soul winning, but let me also say this. Eventually, you got to remove those tabs out of your Bible, okay? Eventually, the bookmarks got to be removed. The tabs need to be removed. If that's what you're using now, kudos to you. I'm glad your teacher taught you that. People are smiling at me because probably that's what they're doing. Then that's great, you know, for the beginning, but eventually, bless God, you just got to be able to open up any Bible, right? You know, if I gave you a lost person to preach the gospel to and you didn't have your soul-winning Bible with you with all your tabs and all your cheat sheets, which we're going to give out cheat sheets and stuff to help you guys. But, you know, if you're a seasoned soul winner, you should be able to pick up just any Bible and just use it. Hey, you should be able to just not use any Bible and just quote the scriptures. But, you know, obviously it's better to actually use a physical Bible. I can pick up any single Bible, thin line, you know, a commentary Bible that you guys own or whatever, you know, and just kind of go through it. And I know all the verses, where they're at, know where the books are at. We should be able to navigate through the scriptures, not just in soul winning, but more specifically while we're in church. And you know what? On Sunday morning, navigate through the scriptures and help new people to navigate through the scriptures as well. You know, have new people sit next to you. And show them, like, this is where that, maybe, by the way, maybe some people don't because they can't navigate to the scriptures. They're just like, well, the reason I don't do this is because I don't know where that, you know, where is that book? I don't know where that book's at. Well, you better learn. That will improve, you know, your benefiting from the preaching of God's word. Because God wants us to know where the scriptures are at. He wants us to become familiar with the content of the Bible. And navigating through the scriptures helps with that. Now, thank God, you know, we have a Bible. The King James Version of the Bible is awesome. And obviously, it's the Word of God. and we don't accept any substitutes here. But thank God that, you know, our Bible is broken up into verses, right? Chapters and verses to be able to navigate properly. But let me say this. A lot of the modern versions of the Bible, because they're constantly removing scriptures, they don't outline the scriptures the way our Bible does. You say, what do you mean? They often put it in paragraphs. You know why they put it in paragraphs? So that you don't notice that verse 37 is missing. Because when it's in paragraph form, they're able to kind of pull the wool over your eyes. You don't notice that they remove particular scriptures, phrases, and verses from the Bible. So that's why it's important to have a King James Bible with all the verses right here, chapters broken up, and to navigate through that. And so improve your biblical navigation skills. Look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 17. It says, and there was delivered unto him, him's referring to Jesus, the book of the prophet Isaiah, referring to Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captives and the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now that's skill. Because it's not like he had a reference. There's no book, chapter, and verse. We're talking about the Hebrew scriptures where they open up a scroll and it's written in paragraph form, you know, right to left. And he found the specific scripture that he's looking for in order to preach from because he was fulfilling that prophecy in his day at that moment. And it's showing us that Jesus Christ, obviously because he's the Word of God, but he was able to navigate through the scriptures. And here's, I have a question for you. If I were to just pull out a random subject from the Bible and say, find me this passage, find me a passage in the Bible that talks about this specific subject, would you be able to grab a Bible and show me from the Word of God where it's at? You know? Become skilled in navigating through the scriptures. Obviously, we don't have to have everything memorized. I'm just talking about navigation, knowing where things are at. You know what books are in the Old Testament. You know what books are in the New Testament. You know what subjects are emphasized in which book. You know where to find the verses on the deity of Jesus Christ, on the subject of salvation, on the subject of alcohol. You have these things categorized in your mind. You can navigate through the Bible. And that's very important, especially when you're in church, okay? Because here's the thing. If you're just sitting there just looking at me the whole time, you know, church is going to be very boring. And then you're going to think about where you're going to eat afterwards. When is he going to finish? Is this going to be another long one? What's going to happen? Why don't you just open up the Bible and read the scriptures that we're going to instead? Why don't you actually participate and actually read the Word of God yourself? And look, we live in a country where the Bible's free. You know, and thank God for that, amen? We can freely read it, take advantage of that. Acts 17, I don't know if I had you turn it, but go to Acts chapter 17 if you would. Acts chapter 17. And then we're going to go to Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 17. Ways you can benefit from the preaching, improve your Bible navigation skills. Now, I love this story here in Acts 17. Look at verse 10. Says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and I want you to notice, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, let me just make a quick comment about this passage here, because we often use this passage as I'm going to use it right now, applying it to Christians being able to, you know, rightly divide the word of truth to see if, you know, to see if these things are so. But what this is actually referring to is unsaved people. So these guys are not saved, and they're noble because of the fact that they're actually wanting to hear the word of God. And so we see, look at verse 12, therefore many of them, who's the them? Those who are more noble than those in Thessalonica, the Bereans. Therefore, many of them believed also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. So in other words, these people got saved because they actually went back home, looked at the scripture and said, okay, what that guy was saying is true about Jesus being the Christ. Therefore, they got saved, they believed, and so forth. But this is also applicable to Christians. Making sure that we're searching the scriptures, meaning that you're studying the Bible on your own, improving your ability to rightly divide the word of truth, to actually go through the scriptures, familiarize yourself with your sword. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, if you would. How do you benefit from the preaching of God's word? Well, number one, come to church expecting to learn, relearn, and reinforce. Number two, internalize the truth that you're listening to. Number three, improve your biblical navigation skills. Number four, here's a big way you can benefit from the preaching. Take it personal. Now, I get this question asked a lot. Okay? Was that sermon about me? And, you know, most of the time I'll say yes. Because in general, the sermon's for everyone. But you know what? I appreciate that someone would ask that and think that it's about them. Now, obviously, you shouldn't think that I'm just constantly preaching against you, okay? You know, you shouldn't think like, oh, man, he's just mad at me. He's getting on me. You know, you might have a guilty conscience or something. I don't know. However, you should take the preaching personal, though. And what do I mean by that? You shouldn't be nudging people and looking at people like Christian's doing to Adrian at this moment. You should apply it to yourself. Take it personal. And, you know, obviously there's going to be times when we're preaching or when I'm preaching and you're like, oh, man, that's like so-and-so. Because for sure it applies to certain people. You know, and you know, on Sunday nights we get a little more family-oriented in our church when I'm calling out specific things and people just know who I'm talking about, you know. They just know, but sometimes I have to address them. But in other instances, I'm just being general about a specific thing, a specific topic or sin. And, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so. Well, no, you apply it rather than so-and-so. Stop nudging your husband. Stop nudging your wife. Stop looking at your friend. Stop staring at Maury. Stop staring, you know, apply it to yourself. You take it personal. Say, Lord, that's for me. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I need to apply that sermon personally. Look at Acts 2, verse 36. I like what it says here. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, that's a great response. They're taking it personal. They're pricked in their hearts because that's what the Word of God does. It hits your heart. It can see the inner recesses of the heart. It divides soul and spirit, joints and the marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It pricks you, and this is the answer that you should give. What shall we do? What shall I do? Not what should he do. Not what should she do. Not, oh yeah, get that person. Take it personal yourself. Now, I can preach this from the housetops for years on end. And, you know, a lot of times, the people who should take it personal do not take it personal. And the people that do not take it personal do take it personal. I've had instances where I preach about something specific, and maybe I was referring to a particular person in our church or something. And then another person will come and be like, I knew that was for me, and I changed that. You know, I worked on that. And I'm just like, actually, it wasn't about you at all. But the person I was preaching about didn't change that at all. You know why? Because they're not taking it personal. But the point is that when we listen to preaching, regardless of maybe it not affecting your specific life, you need to ask the Lord, Lord, how can I apply this preaching to my life? And let me just say, all preaching is applicable. All preaching is personal. And yeah, it may not affect you right now, but you will need it in the future. Fact, okay? Allow the preaching to prick your heart. Expect something from the Lord. Expect to learn, relearn, reinforce, internalize the truth, improve your biblical navigation skills, take it personal. And you know what? Every time someone asks me, was that about me? I'll say, yes. Were you preaching about me? Yes. Even to the point where I went to go preach at Faithful Word one time, and someone came to me with a coffee mug and said, Pastor, this is for you. And the coffee mug had a finger pointing, and it said, yes, that sermon was about you. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, that's literally what I tell my church members all the time. Because people are always asking that, like, oh, you're talking about me, huh? Sure, why not? You know, because why wouldn't it apply to you? You came to church. And it's funny when people come to church and they get upset that the sermon applies to them. Like, did you come to church so you can hear me preach against other people? Or do you want preaching yourself? Because you should come to church expecting to hear something from God. You should come to church expecting to have your heart pricked, amen? Because you're coming to church because you want to change, you want to improve, you want to be a better Christian, okay? How do you benefit from the preaching of God's word? Learn, relearn, reinforce, internalize the truth, improve your biblical navigation skills, take it personal. And number five, very simple here, very important though, get locked in. When you come to church, you need to lock in. Too many times Christians are just not locked in during the preaching of God's word. Their mind is elsewhere. Are we going to Cane's or are we going to In-N-Out? Are we going to McDonald's or what are we going to do? Or, man, I got so many things to do afterwards. Forget all that. You know, you arguing with your spouse beforehand, forget that. Get locked in. When you come to church, sit your keister down on that chair, open up your Bible and say, this hour is dedicated unto the Lord. I'm trying to hear the divine preaching of God's word. And you know what? I'll deal with everything else afterwards. Leave your problems at the door. Leave your arguments at the door. Leave your worries at the door. Come here, get locked in, and focus on the preaching of God's word. That's what you need to do. Show respect for the preaching of God's word. Esteem the words of his mouth. Listen to this, for those of you who are hungry about dinner. More than your necessary foods. And look, I'm fixing to just destroy that clock and just not even have a clock here anymore. Yeah. You know why? Because I'm tired of people just... You're not locked in. You're locked out. You're not locked in, my friends. You're like, oh, man, well, how long is he going to go? Well, if you got to go, then go. If you got to get out of here, there's plenty of doors that you can use. You know what? I want to preach to people who are locked into the preaching of God's word, not because I'm anything special. But, folks, I respect the preaching of God's word. I respect the content of the Bible, and so should you. I've been through, under many sermons, many preachers, and you know what? I don't care if they were bombastic or if they did not wax eloquent. If they were preaching the Bible, I was locked in. Plain and simple. I was paying attention, eyes wide, just looking at the Word of God, interacting with the preacher, praying thus within my heart, Lord, help me with this. Why? Because the preaching is actually something that's important. It's supernatural. It's divine. We need to get locked in and not be scrolling through Instagram. I don't think people do that. You better not do that. Not looking at stories or your TikTok or your email or your whatever and seeing who posted stories on what. Hey, by the way, you shouldn't be going through the comments section of the live either. Drives me absolutely bananas when people are commenting to other people on our live. You're live here. You might as well just stay at home. Get locked in. Focus. Discipline your focus, my friends. And look, it takes a little discipline, too. And look, I get it. With parents, I got 5 kids, okay? And you know what? My wife does not have me sitting right next to her helping her with the kids, by the way. And she will never have me next to her because I'm the pastor. So, you know, Lord willing, we'll have more kids. And the more kids we have, just more she has to, like, manage and oversee. And, you know, once Bruce gets bigger, then he can help out and Kyla can help out. But you know what? We have to teach our kids to lock in too. And you know, that should be a motivation to you parents to really hone in and work on helping your kids pay attention in church, because when you do that, you're able to pay attention in church. This should not be a time when kids are playing, watching Cocomelon, coloring in their crayon with their crayons or doing whatever. Teach them how to lock in church, okay, so that you can lock in as well. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 1, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear, the Bible says, than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Consider not that they do evil. You know, you sacrifice to come here, sacrifice gas and time and, you know, whatever else. But you know what? If you're not ready to hear, then you're a fool, because you wasted your time coming to church. Listen to me scream at you for an entire hour, got nothing out of it because you're constantly thinking about what happened before and what comes after church. Lock in, don't be a fool, and be ready to hear when you come to the house of God. Talk about benefiting from God, from God's word, from the preaching of the word of God. How? Come to church expecting to learn, relearn, and reinforce. Internalize the truth. Improve your biblical navigation skills. Take it personal. Get locked in. Hey, get a nap in before church. Amen? And if you didn't get a nap in, then get a Dobio from Starbucks. Get a Red Bull. We're constantly, you know, Brother Adam, well, I shouldn't say his name, but, you know, we have someone who's constantly filling up that refrigerator with Red Bulls, free Red Bulls. Get a coffee. This is important, my friends. You're not just here just to kind of just pass the time. You could be doing something else if you don't want to pay attention. Get locked in. Focus on the preaching of God's word. Get something out of it. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, the Bible tells us. Number six. We're almost done. How to benefit from God's preaching. Don't treat preaching as an exhibition. So what do you mean by that? You know, preaching is entertaining, right? It could be entertaining. You could agree with that. Like, you know, it is. Sometimes it is like an exhibition. It's sometimes you hear a preacher, a particular topic, and you're like, wow, this is entertaining. But we should not just come to church to be entertained. It should not just be an exhibition. You're coming here because you want to hear something from God. You want to participate. You're writing things down. You know that it applies to you. Go to Mark chapter 6. Actually, go to Ezekiel chapter 33. I'm going to read to you from Mark 6. Ezekiel 33. Therefore, Herodias, verse 19 of Mark chapter 6 says, had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, referring to John the Baptist, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. So Herod actually enjoyed the preaching from John the Baptist. And it's not because he was saved. It's not because he was a godly man. He just liked to be entertained by John the Baptist. Because Bible preaching, though powerful, is also entertaining. It's entertaining to hear a sermon about whoredom. It's entertaining to hear the word faggot. It's entertaining to hear about controversial topics of the Bible. That's entertaining. But hold on a second. Don't come with the intent to treat preaching as an exhibition. If that's what you get out of the preaching, that's a byproduct, then so be it. But come to actually grow, to learn, to actually apply the preaching to your life. Okay? Look at Ezekiel 33. Here's a perfect example of this. And this will always be a problem. This will always be an issue. The preaching will always be an exhibition to someone. Always. And I'm talking about people who love the preaching, but not apply it. Look at Ezekiel 33, verse 31. It says, And they come unto thee, referring to Ezekiel, as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And I want you to notice this in verse 32. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not, the Bible says. So the Bible is actually teaching us that some people view preaching like a very lovely song, like, wow, that sounds really nice. And I think I get this compliment when we have our really big days and we have a lot of visitors. And sometimes I'll talk to people who get witnessed to afterwards, you know, like a friend day or an Easter. You know, I'll talk to them and I'll hear maybe they didn't get saved, but they're like, that was a really good sermon. We really liked that. That was very nice. But obviously, if they're not getting saved, then it's just a very lovely song to them. Because it'd be different if it's just like, I just got saved. Or if they're already saved and they're like, you know what? I'm going to start changing some things in my life. I'm going to start coming to church, getting serious about the things of God. But it was just like, that was very nice. I really like that. For me, it's just like, and? Because if it's not affecting you, then you're not really approaching preaching in the proper way. It's just like a really nice song to you. You know, someone who plays well, someone who sings well. Why? Because preaching to a certain degree is, you know, entertaining. But here's the thing. We should not come to church expecting entertainment. come to church because you actually want to learn something from the Bible. You actually want to change your life. You want to make some decisions, etc. Okay? Do them. Don't just like the lovely song. And here's the last thing. So number one, how to benefit from the preaching. Come to church expecting to learn, relearn, reinforce, internalize the truth, teach someone else and do it. Improve your biblical navigation skills so you're participating, you're interacting with the preaching. Take it personal because it is about you. Get locked in, meaning discipline your focus. Don't treat preaching as an exhibition. And then lastly, here's a big part. Receive it as from the Lord. If you really want to benefit from the preaching, recognize that this is from God. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and we're done here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. When I got saved and I started going to church, I learned this early on, that it really didn't matter who was behind the pulpit. If they're preaching God's word, I took it as from the Lord. Not that the man was divine or supernatural, but they were a conduit of what God wanted me to hear and learn at that moment. I always took it as the leading of God's word. Like I felt like the Lord led me through preaching. I mean, obviously he led me through my own Bible reading, through maybe like circumstances and situations. But probably the greatest element to lead me in my Christian life was preaching. I would hear a sermon and be like, wow, that applies to literally what I'm going through at this moment. This is like for me. And you know, the preacher didn't know anything about my situation. And how many of you would say you heard a sermon, whether from me or from someone else, and then you're just like, how do they know about? Like, I feel like it's just, that was about me. And it's not like, you know, and sometimes people ask me like, did they tell you? Did my wife tell you? Did my husband tell you about that? I'm just like, I don't know anything about anything. I'm just preaching, you know. You know, the wives are not coming to me, slipping me notes like, talk about his sin, about this. This is what he did this week. Here's content for you, you know. Here's some stuff that you can work with or whatever. I'm just preaching, but you know what? God, through the Holy Spirit and through the preaching, is kind of bringing it to you and talking to you, okay? And so one of the best ways to benefit from God's preaching is you got to see it as it's coming from him. This sermon is brought to you in part by God. This sermon is brought to you in part by the Holy Spirit. This sermon is brought to you in part by the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to hear this sermon. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because... listen to this. When ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now, that's a powerful statement. He's saying there, you know, when you heard this preaching from us, you understood that it came from God and not necessarily man. It didn't matter if it was Paul, Peter, Silas, or Timothy. They understood these are the instruments of God's word. But at the end of the day, God is the one who's behind this. God is the one who's leading me. God is the one who wants me to hear the specific truth in my personal life. And this is what I need today. You know what? If you want to benefit from God's preaching, apply these things. Receive it as from the Lord. Learn, relearn, reinforce. Internalize the truth by teaching others and doing what the preaching says. Improve your biblical navigation skills. And if you don't have a Bible, come tell me, I'll give you a Bible. Take it personal. Apply it to yourself. Obviously, there's times when it applies to someone else, but even then, you should still apply something to yourself. Get locked in. When you're here for this hour, hour and a half, or however long I preach, give that unto the Lord. Say, you know what? At this moment, I want to be filled with the Spirit. You know, and by the way, when John comes up here, or the song leaders, you know, they're not just going through the motions when they pray this. I believe they mean this with all sincerity of heart, and if they don't, they will from now on. But, you know, John will often say, give us spirit-filled ears, right? You know what he means by that? Like, help us to, like, approach the message, what spirit-filled is, that we can receive what the message is for us today, this morning, tonight, because it's true. We need to take this serious, get locked in, discipline your focus. Don't treat the preaching as an exhibition. And then lastly, receive it as from the Lord. If you apply those things, you will benefit greatly from the preaching of God's word, whether for me, mostly for me because you go to this church, but just any sermon you hear, you will benefit and succeed greatly in your Christian life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And God, I'm thankful for preaching. I love preaching. I love preaching that exhorts, that reproves, rebukes. I love correction, Lord. I love to learn something from the Word of God. And I never want to be a Christian that despises preaching. The only preaching that I despise is false preaching, weak preaching, soft preaching that muddies up the truth, Lord. Lord, I'm thankful for the men of God that you placed in my life over the years, Lord, that I've heard and have helped me greatly. Help us as your people to recognize that this hour is divine. When we open up the Word of God and listen to what you would have for us, help us to take it serious, Lord, and to benefit greatly from it. We love you. We thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.